listening to the ACB Advocacy Update.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of ACB Advocacy Update. This is Claire, the Director of Advocacy and Governmental Affairs.
This is Swatha, ACB's Advocacy Network Specialist.
And we're here today just to introduce a special episode of ACB Advocacy Update. Instead of listening to us, I guess you're still going to have to listen to us, but we are re-airing some fun episodes of our community calls that reviewed the four imperatives for the legislative seminar this year.
And just to note that the conference is March 1st to March 5th, so... And in Pentagon City. So join us.
Awesome. We're excited to see everybody there, whether you're participating in person or online. And we're excited to share the information about these important imperatives and then bring them to Capitol Hill.
And as always, you can email us at advocacy@acb.org with questions, or you can call us at 202-467-5081. And Claire, what did you say at the end?
We always say, keep advocating.
All right. Hello, folks. This is Swatha Nandakumar. I am ACB's Advocacy and Outreach Specialist. So tonight, we will be talking about the fourth and imperative for the 2024 Legislative Seminar. So this legislative imperative is not a new one. This has been an imperative of ACB for, I think it's been 3 years now, since 22. So since I started here, it's been an imperative. So this is the Medical Device Non-Visual Accessibility Act, or the or H.R. 1328, or S. 3621, because this year we have a Senate companion to the once to what was in the past a House only bill. So this bill, introduced by Representative Jan Schakowsky of Illinois and Senators Mike Braun of Indiana and Maggie Hassan of New Hampshire. This bill would require the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, to consult the Access Board on standards for accessibility of medical devices that are classified as FDA Class 2 and Class 3 devices. So as we all know, medical devices like blood pressure monitors, blood pressure monitors and glucose meters are not accessible to people who are blind or have low vision. And because they have a screen, it's oftentimes that we cannot access the screen or access the numbers being shown because they're not shown in a format that is audio or has large print or any high contrast, any contrast at all. So what class 3 medical devices are these devices that, like heart rate monitors and glucose meters, are a level up and come with more risks and are more invasive, and if used improperly can cause, you know, adverse effects, like, you know, just doesn't, it's not good for your health or for your body. So these devices, it's necessary that we have access to use these devices safely and independently. So this bill would require the FDA to promulgate standards for accessibility. So it requires things like audio output or tactile markings or buttons, or high contrast in large print, so people who have vision or who don't have any vision at all can use them properly and use them safely independently. So as we know, people who are blind, people with any disability, they are at risk for more comorbidities. So things like they are at risk for unhealthy lifestyles or and diabetes is the leading cause of blindness for people working age. Who are under 65, but are like still working at or like of the age of working age adults. So this bill is pretty important that we get it passed and into law, because we need the devices and we need to have accessible access to manage our own health and our own well-being. This bill is not new. It's been issued for a couple years now. But what's new is that it has a Senate companion. So again, that's Senate Bill S-3621, introduced by Maggie Haston of New Hampshire and Mike Brown of Indiana. This bill is also bipartisan, so in the Senate and House. So that's pretty exciting. We love to see people across the aisle. When you meet with member of Congress, please let them know how this would impact you, or impact someone you know or someone you're close to. You know, what it mean to you to be able to manage your health, to be able to control your health and manage for symptoms and side effects, and what it would mean to you, both physically and mentally, to have this kind of freedom and independence that people who are not blind or people who are able-bodied to have just by default. So, yes, I will take questions now. Any questions?
Sorry, I was muted. No hands are up right now.
Okay.
Thank you.
So does anyone want to, okay, so since we have time and there are no questions, anyone want to come on stage and role play with me, or I'll be going to Congress and you be the advocate. Anyone do that?
No hands right now.
All right, I'll pick on somebody. Peter, maybe. Do you want to come try and advocate for the bill?
I'm sorry?
Do you want to try and advocate?
Try to answer.
I'm sorry. Like, what I asked for is somebody who wants to come up and try a Hill meeting, or...
Yes.
Okay.
I happen to be diabetic and really wrestle with meters and the glucometers and have not found a satisfactory device that allows me to do my own checking. I find it difficult to both locate, have location for the blood and then get the meter to read, and I further complicate the issue because I don't like stabbing my fingers for getting the blood out, because I'm a piano tuner and I have my hands inside of dirty pianos all the time, and I tend to get infections in my fingertips. So there are other devices that are out there that allow sighted people to get their blood results quickly and easily, and that's not something that I can do, and I firmly believe that I should be able to be in charge and care for my own medical condition.
But Peter, don't you have someone around help you out?
No.
You live alone? As a blind person?
I have a sighted person that can help me. My spouse can help me with it, but that it still does not allow me to be able to easily check my blood sugars when I want to. I have to wait for other people to be able to get there.
So equity, okay. It's a matter of equal access to equal treatment.
Yeah.
Well, I will take it back to my boss, and I will see what they say about this bill. But I think you make your case on why this bill should be law. Thank you, Peter.
Thank you.
Yeah, I do like your story. Yeah, just make sure you push that story out when you're talking to your member of Congress. Like, personal story, great. The members, they really do like, you know, hearing about how the issue affects their voters, and essentially they work for you. So if it's a big enough issue for you and your community, then the odds are they'll listen more. So thank you. Anybody else want to try? Any questions?
No hands are up. Just a sec.
I see a hand.
Oh, now Peter's. Wait a minute. Yeah, Peter.
I have a question. That this is the third year that we've been working on this, and so are we seeing any real movement in the House and the Senate? I mean, I know that my representative is one of the co-signers for the bill, and one of my state senators is also one of the sponsors in the Senate. But that I'm not seeing any real movement in how the bill's coming forward. So. Can you give me any more positive hope for these bills? Because I really do feel that they're important.
Yeah, of course. So this year, the first year, we had a stand-up bill. So, and also bipartisan. It's one of the only imperatives this year that is fully bipartisan in both the House and Senate. So there are Republicans, there are both Democrats and Republicans on both sides, both chambers that are co-sponsors and that support this bill. So that, I think, really helps with momentum really helps with getting it noticed and getting it. Because the more notice we get, the more momentum we build, just makes it stronger and makes it, easier to makes it easier to pass, easier to get anywhere, because they see it and it realize how big an issue is. And another thing is that sometimes bills don't always take they can take years to get passed. Iterative process. So it just takes time, and also this can also inspire action by the federal government agencies. So I mean, We see with the WebEx bill that that bill has inspired the DOJ to put out rules. So again, we can attack from all fronts, but legislation is a slow process. So politics is messy, but politics can work when it works. So
thank you.
Of course. Anybody else want to, role play or want to ask a question?
No hands right now.
Okay. Again, if you all have questions or want to talk to me and Claire, email us at advocacy@acb.org, or you can call us at 202-467-5081. And keep advocating, guys. As always, keep advocating.
Thanks for listening to the ACB Advocacy Update. You can reach us by emailing advocacy@acb.org. The ACB Advocacy Update is a production of the American Council of the Blind in Alexandria, Virginia. To learn more about ACB, visit us online at www.acb.org.